You know, when you chase money, money runs.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, and I am joined today by my brosif, Joshua Ryan Rusin. Josh, how you doing today, Josh?
Gino, doing well, man. Still riding off the high with the coaches retreat this past weekend. It was really great getting everybody together, doing some masterminding and some, you know, fun activities. And then we had the Finance Right boot camp. So getting with the students and really seeing what we got going on there and some real movers and shakers in our group. Gino, how about you?
Well, as I was telling you 3 minutes ago, I was doing algebra and appositives, and I don't know what people think when they want to homeschool their kids. My wife homeschools, and let me tell you, that is a job in and of itself. So thank God I am on top and in my office, and I'm about ready to speak to somebody who's really super high level. Let me introduce today's guest. Kent Clothier is the CEO of Real Estate Worldwide, a software training company for real estate investors, and the founder of the Boardroom Mastermind, the most elite real estate investor networking group in the country. He's the author of This Shit Works, which lays out three proven strategies for consistently generating income in today's real estate market. Without further ado, Kent, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So dive into your story. You've got a great story. You got one of success, one of failure, then back to success, and multiple businesses. Can you start from the beginning for us?
Yeah, sure, man. Again, thanks for having me. I got started in business when I was 17. I was the son of an entrepreneur in the grocery industry. My brother Chris and I kind of grew up stocking shelves at convenience stores and grocery stores and all that kind of good stuff, and kind of watched firsthand a lot of the ups and downs of a small business owner. And then when I was 17, we had just recently moved from Dallas, Texas to Memphis, Tennessee. And so being the new kid in the school and all that kind of good stuff, I didn't have a lot of friends, didn't have anybody to hang out with. So I spent a lot of time at the office and kind of hanging out with my father. And before I knew it, I was knee deep in an arbitrage business where we're buying and selling truckloads of groceries. Mm-hmm. Most people have no idea that, you know, there's anywhere from 30 to 40,000 items inside of any grocery store. And the manufacturers sell each and every one of those items at a different price to every one of those stores, right? So the guy down the street could be paying $20 a case for Coke, and the guy, you know, right down the street from here, here's paying is $50 a case. And so when you create massive discrepancies like that all over the country, tens of thousands of stores, you create real opportunity for entrepreneurs. And so what we were doing is we were basically buying it out of the back room, if you will, not literally, but figuratively. by the truckload, we would buy items, by the truckload, 10, 20, 30 trucks at a time at a discount, go put them back on a truck, ship them to another part of the country, mark them up, and still sell them at a discount to the other end. But they were all too happy to save a few pennies because they needed the product. And that little business that we started, by the time I was 23, I was running a $50 million a year company. By the time I was 28, we had sold out to a company down in Boca Raton, Florida. So they moved me and my new wife down to Boca Raton, fish out of water, if you will. Memphis, Tennessee to Boca Raton is kind of a hell of a move. Got down there and suddenly I was running an $800 million a year company. And the guys just kind of threw me the keys and said, go do what you do. We've watched you do this. And by the time I was 30, I turned it into a $1.8 billion a year company. It's the seventh largest privately held company in the state of Florida. And it still operates today, still runs today, still goes. But I'm just no longer there. I got into a run-in with my partners after a really, really successful year. Decided I wanted some of my equity back. They did not agree with that. And so we butted heads. And when we butted heads, I was just young and full of crap enough to just walk out of there in about a 30-second SPAC and just thought I was going to go off and make millions of dollars like I had done my entire life up to that point.
What would you have done differently? Would you have walked away now knowing what you know now?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But at that moment, that was probably the dumbest. Literally, I was so uneducated about the real world, right? At that point, I had lived a very sheltered existence. I'd been really, really successful from 17 to 30. I'd made, by the time I was 30 years old, I'd made almost, you know, $20 million. And so I had no understanding of what the real world really was, right? Everything I had done was just turning to gold. And so Walking out of there felt really natural to me because I just felt like I could do anything. If I was involved, we were going to make millions of dollars. And that's just where my head was at. And over the next 2 years, I proved that that was absolutely a false narrative real quick. It took me 22 months to lose every single dollar I'd ever earned. Started a business going right after my former employer. And we, between lawsuits and bad decisions and everything else in the business, it wiped me out. And ultimately, that's how I got to real estate, man. I got to real estate the way a lot of people, you know, a lot of your listeners have got to it. Some guy, girl was on television, radio, you know, placing an ad talking about, hey, come down, I'll teach you how to flip some houses. So I, you know, Russ Whitney was who I saw
yes.
on television. And I went down to the West Palm Beach Embassy Suites and got down there and was terrified because everything they were talking about excited me. They were talking about wholesaling. I had no idea you could control a property like that. It excited me, but I had been making so many bad financial decisions for 2 years that going and dropping $1,000 when all I had was $4,000 in the bank scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. But I did it, and you know, it changed everything for me. I immediately was highly motivated, started flipping houses, did my first deal in 20 days. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. Now we've flipped over 10,000 houses. You know, we were talking earlier about my brother. Basically, he and I started in this business about the same time, completely unknown to each other. We kind of found the same path and started flipping houses. And I was doing really well down in South Florida, flipping hundreds of houses a year, was using a process that I had perfected in the previous business called reverse wholesaling. And really brought a lot of systems and processes and automation. And up to that point, nobody knew anything about working with cash buyers. You know, none of that stuff existed, right? We were creating all that from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And so when I started doing all that, my brother, my father, we decided, I don't know, what was it? Probably 2006 to kind of come together and kind of formed a company that is now, you know, was Memphis Invest. Now is REI Nation, is now considered one of the premier investment companies in the country. Like I said, still flipping 700, 800, 900 properties a year, over 10,000, manages over 6,500 properties. And, you know, and then to put the cherry on the top, I became extremely passionate about all of these systems and processes that I put in place and helping other people figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. And that became my passion. I got really, really good at helping to rattle everybody's cage and help show them that this is really possible. And so that's when I started Real Estate Worldwide. And now we've helped over, you know, almost 65,000 students around the world to figure this stuff out. And so it's been a hell of a journey, 50 years. And it feels like it's been 100, but it's only been 50.
We got to go back to that decision you made to walk out. Your next title, your next book could be something like Don't Do That Shit, right? I mean, yeah, right. Basically, I mean, how is it to have all that success and then all of a sudden, because I've never had that before. I mean, I worked at the restaurant, I struggled, I was okay, and then I lost another business. So how is it to have all that success and then all of a sudden go from hero to zero and then try to build that back up? What was the process? What got you motivated to get back on the horse?
I wouldn't wish the process on my worst enemy. Mm-hmm. Let's just be very clear, right? Mm-hmm. Because at that moment in time, and I still wear that, you know, I wear it as a badge of honor, but it is just under the skin, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very, very in touch with how devastatingly impactful that was on me, right? Because to your point, I was on top of the world. I was in an industry doing almost $2 billion a year, and the entire industry was $5 billion, right? And I'm running the show. So I am, when I say that I was the man. Right. In every sense of that word in that industry. And so, but like I said, I wasn't humble. I was the guy that 100% at 30 years old, I was the entire reason that business was successful. All you had to do was ask me, mm-hmm. right? I was that guy, right? I was the guy that, man, you know, what I said, I ruled with an iron fist, the whole thing, right? I took a ton of pride in being to the office at 5 o'clock in the morning and not leaving until 8 o'clock at night. Like, I thought that was so cool. I was, you know, the ultimate douchebag, but had no idea I was. And so going from that high mountain and then walking out of there, you know, full of piss and vinegar, and I'm going to go do this and rah, 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 rah. And then just starting hitting the roadblocks, right? Start losing $100,000, $200,000 a month as you're trying to build a business. And you know, you think you're making the right decisions, but you're not. You don't realize you're the gambler sitting at the at the table that keeps calling for the marker and keep going in. You don't realize you're that guy, but I was 100% that guy, except this was just real life in business. And on the way down, you know, burning every relationship, getting divorced, every relationship I had inside of an industry, I'm just burning it all to the ground, right? And I'm completely self-destructive, but I'm so close to it, I can't see it. Like I said, I would not wish that on my worst enemy. I got to a place where that was extremely, extremely dark when I finally lost everything. I mean, I don't mind telling you, I was at one point, it was just easier to end it. I was suicidal. I was like, this is done. I'm out. Like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was really, really lucky because I just happened to see, you know, those infomercials, right? And I had nowhere else to turn. It was that simple. I had already burned every bridge. Everything I had tried to do, I was not working. And I had nothing left in the tank. And so that's a really, you know, it's a good place to be, because when you have no options, you know, as we've all heard the saying, burn the boats, you know, that is extremely true. Like, when you have no options, because all the boats have been burned, you will figure some shit out. And that's exactly what I did.
But from hearing what you're saying, you probably didn't need enough money to own a boat. So I guess you're just saying, what did you learn from that experience though, from being an entrepreneur, running a $2 billion enterprise? What skills did you learn from that you could translate over into real estate?
Well, once I got on my feet and I got going, right? And I really understood, you know, when I got into the real estate space, it became obvious to me probably inside of the first 2 years that everybody I knew in the space, everybody I was in contact with was a hustler. Nobody was a business owner. Nobody understood how to run it, right? Nobody understood how to take it to scale. Everybody, if they took their foot, their personal foot off the gas, the money stopped. And that was never going to be me. Because I had just to your point, I had just come from scale at a level that most could never even imagine, right? I had 700 sales reps in an office working for me, a massive sales floor. So I understood scale. I understood systems. I understood the benefits of it. And so I became really passionate about taking that simple methodology, which is, you know, start with the end in mind. I understand what my customers want to buy. I'm going to go figure out a way to deliver it to them, right? If you had to boil reverse wholesaling down into its essence, that's it, right? And so that's what we did at scale inside of the grocery industry. The entire way I took it from 800 million to 1.8 billion was just turning the model around. You know, an $800 million company, there's not a person out there that wouldn't argue, man, that's a wildly successful company. Well, it took a 27-year-old naive dipshit kid like me coming off the streets out of Memphis, Tennessee to come in like, well, this doesn't make sense. Why don't we do it a different way? And it took two really, really trusting business owners at that point, the two guys that owned the company, to look at a kid like me and say, you know what, he's done it. He's proven it in other places. Let's just let him prove it here. And it worked, right? 800 million to 1.8 billion in 30 months by just turning the model around. So what I learned was, one, this industry, this business, specifically in wholesaling, could actually be run like a business, right? Did not have to be a hustle. But in order to do that, you had to go off and figure out, start with the end in mind, create a predictable outcome. And when you can do that, then you can do it at scale. And we've proven that, right? REI Nation, like I said, sits there and flips almost 800 properties a year consistently for years after years after years. We know exactly what our customers want to buy. We know exactly the markets they want to buy in. I mean, there is very little risk involved in our business because we understand the predictable outcome we're trying to create. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big thing that I took from that business.
So everyone out there, you need to listen to this. At Jake and Gino, we preach that we create multifamily entrepreneurs. That's what you're doing. You're getting into real estate. You're becoming an entrepreneur. You're buying a multifamily property. You're buying a stream of revenue. You're buying an individual business, whether it's 10 units or 50 units. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, you're going to be the I'm a mentality. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's fine. You're going to have to learn how to run the property, how to manage it. Doesn't mean you have to end up doing it ultimately. But as you start scaling up, learn how to implement those systems, learn how to manage the property properly. As we like to say, buy right, finance right, and manage right. Learn how to do all that, continue to scale. And like Ken said, it's very important with the end in mind. You're creating a business so you can start hiring others to help you to scale. And then you start focusing on what your skill sets are, whether that's raising capital, whether that's negotiating. negotiating the deal and what you like to do, whether that's creating an education company, whatever that may be. But don't get into the business just to, you know, figure out getting a little bit of cash flow and buying a couple little deals. That's not what this business is about. We all think too small, as I think Kent said, in the space. We're all out there hustling, trying to get a deal done, trying to make $3,000 a month in cash flow. The opportunities are endless in this space. And if you think, like Kent said, which is awesome, with the end in mind, what are you ultimately trying to do? What is your vision? Stop and get some clarity of why multifamily, why single family? They're basically the same thing, where you can create multiple streams of revenue. And most people don't think about it when they get in because they're not business people. Kent had the luxury and he had the, you know, the benefit of being a business owner. I did too, at a much smaller scale than him. But I understood that once multifamily is a business and you can start creating those complementary streams and scaling it out, it, you know, it's awesome. You want to add anything to that, Kent?
Yeah, no, it's endless. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that, and when you say start with the end in mind, I would encourage everybody to understand that when you chase money, money runs. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to go create money and that's the goal, I mean, we're all business people. We clearly understand that's what we're trying to do, but don't kid yourself. The people that do it at scale, the people that do it and live an amazing lives, they're not chasing the money, right? What they're chasing, what they're going after is the freedom, the opportunity, the option, the impact. There's things out there that they're really trying to do with their life. And the money is the tool that gets them to that goal. So I would highly encourage you, you know, what you were saying, you know, start with the end in mind. Sit here and understand that, man, what I want to spend my time doing, sure as hell ain't managing properties. Sure as hell is not sitting down, you know, one-on-one in these, you know, transactional type days. That's not what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about, you know, walking my little girl to school. I'm passionate about being able to walk out of the office, you know, at any time I want and know that the cash register is still going to sing. I'm passionate about having all these multiple passive streams of income coming at me where I don't have to sit up at night when the economy goes to hell, wondering where's the money going to come. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you start putting it in that kind of way, you'll find that, to your point, the opportunities kind of become endless. If you get boxed in and, all right, I'm going to create $500 cash flow out of this deal, boom, boom, you get very transactional with it. Mm-hmm. Not only is it not fun, it's not productive.
Mm-hmm. Love that. So everyone out there, one of my mentors said to me, some people are so poor, all they have is money. And if you're only focusing on money, you're missing out on the bigger things in life, like building a business, like creating relationships, like having impact. That's what we want to have in life. I think we want to have impact. And, you know, the more impact you have, the more people you can affect, the more value you bring to the marketplace, the more money you're going to make ultimately, yeah. I think.
No doubt.
Ken, let me ask you, how did you start Memphis Invest? I mean, I hear education times action equals results. That's what it comes down to. You got educated. You went to a Russ Whitney, and we would call him a guru. I read his book 15, 20 years ago. To me, it had an impact. It made a lot of sense. I loved his readings, and everyone bashes our space, the education space, but you need to get educated. And then obviously, once you've done that, you need to, quote unquote, I don't want to say burn the boats, but really be committed, have clarity. Then the next step is taking massive action. How did you guys start Memphis Invest? It's an amazing, amazing company right now.
Well, you know, really boiled down to, like I said, a lot of it, I would love to tell you that there are these big, you know, eye-opening moments. The reality of the situation is that we've been entrepreneurs our entire life, mm-hmm. right? And when it's such a huge, massive head start when you're raised in that kind of environment. And so I never understood the benefit of it until I got on the national stage and started going out there and helping a lot of other people and realized that 95% of the people I'm talking to, they couldn't even relate to my story, mm-hmm. Because it was just so different. Right. And so it is a huge benefit and I see the value of it now, you know, and I try to give that to my own kids. But what happened was I'm down here in Florida. My brother Chris is in Denver, Colorado. My dad is in Memphis, Tennessee. And as we are all kind of doing our own little thing, and ironically, at this particular time, there was disagreements in the family. So we weren't even all speaking, right? This is long before. I mean, there was no real communication. But ironically, we were all doing the exact same thing as we were all flipping houses in separate markets, and none of us knew the others were doing that.
Hey, Kent, are you guys Italian by any chance? Because it sounds like an Italian thing.
Exactly. And so as fate would have it, we turned around and we started talking and realized that there were a lot of things that we were doing that could potentially work together. In particular, right, I was in South Florida, which was a white hot market at the time. Mm-hmm. This is pre-recession. And I had a lot of people with a lot of money that were looking for cash flow. And so I started bringing people up to Memphis, Tennessee to kind of show them what was going on up there, because Memphis, Tennessee was a market that is, you know, slow and steady, nothing sexy about it at all. Just, you know, as predictable as they get. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of the genesis of how Memphis Invest started. Chris and I both started bringing people in, and as we would bring four or five people at a time in, we started realizing that there was an appetite for this. Well, then as fate would have it, the recession hit. Mm-hmm. And when that recession hit, I had been doing nothing but dealing with people that were all cash buyers. But when all that cash is sitting there, they desperately want to get involved, but South Florida is doing this.
Yeah.
More importantly, doing this. Memphis, Tennessee was doing this, right? And I got, you know, this looks real sexy when you compare it to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden they're like, hey, let's just get as many people in here as we can. And we started, you know, before we knew it, we were flipping a lot of houses to out-of-state buyers. And that naturally led us, organically led us to a place where, listen, we're selling these houses to these people and we're kind of handing them off to people to rehab the houses and people to rent the houses. But that's not a great experience for them. You know what they're not doing from a predictable outcome standpoint? They're not coming back to buy. And they're not coming back to buy because they're running into challenges along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at it very systematically. It's like, hey, we have to grease the gears. Like, we want them to transact with us over and over and over again. The easiest way to do that is to help them get through the process. So we started the rehab. We started the property management. We started the maintenance. And before you knew it, now we had a machine that you come in at the top, you buy, and we're going to put you through the whole process. You're going to have an amazing experience. Boom, you come back and you buy again. And you start bringing friends. And that is exactly how Memphis Invest was born. And you look up. I mean, now, like I said, I think I looked at the reports yesterday. We're now managing 6,500 single family homes in seven different markets for our clients, right? Who would have ever thought?
So you are doing what we wrote in the Honeybee, exactly, creating complementary streams of revenue. So everyone out there, go take a look at the book. It's jakeandgina.com/honeybee. And it really talks about Noah, where I think Kent is Noah. He's disaffected. He hates what he's doing, but he has a mentor, right? He has a vision on how to do this, but he doesn't have 6,500 units to start with. He starts with an Airbnb in his basement and then starts growing. And the lessons are how to do it, you know, who's going to do it. Kent's not out there managing 6,500 properties. He has to have an amazing team around him. So don't get overwhelmed by saying, how do I get to 6,500? What you need to do is, how do I get to my first? So Kent, share with the listeners how they can get into real estate, whether it's single family, multifamily. What should they do in the beginning to actually get into the business?
You have to take, well, you said it perfectly earlier. You have to take massive action, right? Nothing more, you know, give me ignorance on fire versus knowledge on ice, right? I can't, and I know you guys know the exact same people out there in the world, the overeducated broke guy, right? Who has read every book, watched every YouTube video, listened to every podcast, bought every course, and has not done one thing.
Kent, I have a name for that. Actually, Coach called that a nuru.
Yeah.
A guru who's new out there and he ain't doing anything, and they're starting podcasts and they're writing books, but they haven't done one deal. So exactly. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's
No. So we all know that stereotypical person, right? And mm-hmm. Unfortunately, here's the part that's kind of shocking to most people when you share it with them, is that's the norm, not the exception.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the norm, not the exception. The exceptions are, you know, back to the ignorance on fire. The exceptions are, I get a little bit of information and then I'm going to go. And I'm going to probably bang my head up against the wall, but I have no fear of that. And because I've got somebody in my corner, a mentor, whatever it is, somebody who's going to kind of course correct me and get me back in the game. Right. You know, I use this analogy a lot, and if I came to you guys and said, I have read every book, or I've watched every podcast, or listened to every podcast, and I watched every video about MMA fighting, period, I'm ready. Right. I'm going to go, I'm going to call Dana White. I'm getting in the UFC. I'm going in there. I'm going into the ring. Let's go. Put me in the ring. I want a title fight. You guys would basically say, dude, are you insane? Right. I mean, and you'd be right, by the way. Are you insane? You've never actually been in the ring. You've never gotten punched in the face. You've never gotten choked out. You have no idea what it feels like. And the same is true in this business. The same is true in every business, right? You can only get so much information. At some point, you have to get insight. At some point, you actually have to get in the ring. You actually have to get in there, and you have to be prepared to get hit. And you need to view the hits as learning lessons. Man, I'm going to get hit. I'm looking forward to getting hit. I want to get choked out. I want to get punched in the face. I want to be able to go back to the corner with my coach who says, hey, you're missing this. You're missing that. Go look over here. Go look over there. Get back in there and do it this way. Try this technique next time. Pay attention to this thing. Don't do that thing. That's what business is, right? Mm-hmm. And to approach it any other way is just silly. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that are trying to get into the business, right? So you're back to your original question, that they have enough information right now to act, and they should, right? And they need to be prepared to get hit. Everybody's looking for the perfect scenario to where I can cross every T and dot every I where I won't get hit. And that is just not real. You cannot be that person. That is not what this is about. You have got to get in the game because the opportunity is so big that who cares what the obstacles look like? The obstacles are part of any business. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the obstacles or are you focus on the opportunity to be amazing, to create something in your life? And that's done one step at a time. And to sit back and act like you're just going to sidestep the obstacles and just go to, you know, the opportunity, get to amazing without getting knocked around a little bit, without having to take any punches. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. And so my advice is, you know, go immediately. And whether it's in wholesaling, honestly, you asked me a very direct question. I would absolutely recommend wholesaling to somebody that's starting off in the business for a variety of reasons, right? Lowest barrier of entry. Clearly you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it. The connectivity from a technology standpoint, being able to find buyers and sellers quickly, kind of put this together. There's plenty of information out there. There's a lot of wiggle room there for you can screw something up and still make money, right? In a wholesale deal, because your name's not really in the, you know, you're not putting a lot on the line. Mm-hmm. And you will learn a ton. Not only will you learn the vocabulary, not only will you learn the process, but you'll learn a lot about yourself. And that is kind of the momentum, the first domino, which has to fall in order for you to start doing it. Doesn't mean you're going to wholesale forever. You may, you know, go into multifamily. You may go into syndications. You may go into, you know, seller finance notes. There's a million different avenues you can go into this business, but you got to start someplace to kind of get a little taste of it to where you feel good about what the opportunity is.
I love that. Let me really recap that pretty quickly. Boxer Mike Tyson said, we all have a plan until we get punched in the face. That's the reality. I mean, you just start out, you never know. And by the time you've done 100 units or 200 units, you'll start saying to yourself, it's another one of those, right? And at Jake and Gino, we like to preach, think big, but start small. If you're out there looking at Instagram and everyone's closing 200 unit deals and 300 unit deals, you know what? Jake and I, we closed a 25 unit deal. That was our first deal. That was our comfort level. But we didn't stay at 25 because 3 months later, we went to 36 units. And then 5 months later, we went to 136 units. But if we never started with that 25 unit crack den, we never would have 1600 units right now. That's the reality. That's what Ken's talking about. And it is a business. Be prepared. Be prepared to get, you know, take the punches. That's why I love partnerships, because when you have a partner, you have the accountability. Kent had his family, although they weren't talking to each other like the Italians, they got together finally and said, hey, we're better strong. We're better together than separate. And if we can work together, I bring a certain element to it. My brother Chris brings another element and my dad brings another element. We have different markets. We have different skills. We have different personalities. That's what's amazing. I think that's what, you know, resonated between me and Jake. And I think everybody out there, you can start with wholesaling. Wholesaling is amazing. Start making that money. Start putting that money aside and start thinking bigger, where you ultimately want to create some type of passive income. So for anybody out there, I love the wholesaling model. If you can wholesale, you'll learn how to negotiate. You'll learn how to value deals. You'll learn how to speak and negotiate with brokers, build that rapport with the brokers. But I want everyone to think bigger. I want everyone to think and start creating a business and start creating passive income. So I really appreciate that answer. Let me jump into your book, right? You have three proven strategies in the book. You mind jumping into those three strategies with me?
Let's talk about it. So the three strategies are, let me back up. The idea behind the book is that I want to give people stuff that is highly actionable, depending on where they are, whether they want to do something passively, whether they want to do something, you know, actively, whatever it is, right? So we clearly talk about wholesaling, you know, inside of the book. Then we kind of move more into passive investments. A lot of people that I run into have no idea that they can participate. They have no interest in being a real estate investor, quote unquote, right? So acting as a private lender, we talk a lot about, you know, how to not only raise private money, but how to go and be a private lender, right? If you're sitting on the sidelines, how to get money working for you in a fairly, if not, I don't want to say risk-free, but very, very low risk environment when it comes to real estate. And then ultimately we talk about buying and investing out of state in single family houses, very much the REI Nation model, right? That there's a lot of people sitting with a ton of money. And whether they invest that money in syndications or whether they invest that money in other projects or whether they invest that money in single family homes, owning real estate and being able to take advantage of it from a not only a tax perspective, but from a passive income perspective, right, has never been easier than it is right now. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of really, really smart people, yourself included, that can help people to get involved in real estate and come in a completely hands-off way. Get a lot of benefits, none of the pain. As we like to say, give me the baby, don't give me the labor, right? That's exactly what we talk about in the book is, hey, I'm gonna give you a very specific active way to go get in the business, but I'm gonna give you a couple of passive ways here to go get in the business and still get a ton of benefits out of it.
So Ken, it's funny, if you said to my wife, give me the baby, don't give me the labor, I'd probably have 10 or 11 kids. So yeah, I wish we could do that, but you know,
I think that's probably true of all of our wives.
Can't circumvent that little problem, right? So I should have asked you, why did you write the book? I mean, because it takes years. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of self-doubt. Am I good enough to write this book? Am I putting out good content? You know, what was the clarity? What was the reason why you wrote the book?
You know, I mentioned it earlier. I have found my calling in the last 15 years, right? Back in 2006, well, basically in 2009, when I got kind of pulled into the education space, right? And in fact, Than was the guy that pulled me into it, Than Merrill. My business was exploding at that point, right? Now, everybody around me was going out of business. This is right in the middle of the recession. Literally, everybody is going out of business, and my business is growing by double and triple digits. And the reason that was happening was because of the methodology that I was using, right? Being connected to cash buyers, they were flooding in. I mean, it was just right place, right time. And so going through that process and Than coming to me basically like, dude, you got to share this. You got to talk to people about this. I started to figure out that not only was I really good at talking to them about it and educating them, but I was actually enjoyed it. It was something that I'm really good at, right? I have a gift, and that is I can rattle somebody's cage. I can get in their head. I can break stuff down for them real, real simple and make them take actions that they probably don't think are really possible, right? And so as I've figured out that out about myself over the last few years and gotten continued to help tens of thousands of people, it became kind of obvious to me that I needed to try to condense this down into a place where, you know, some I could share it in a book format. I mean, there's thousands of videos of me out there. I'm speaking on stages all over the world. I'm podcasts like this. I mean, I have all these different platforms, social media, et cetera. But the one I hadn't really explored in a long time, it'd been 7 years since I wrote a book, was, kind of updating what my story was and, you know, how far we had come. And so sat down and started putting it together. And to your point, it is not easy. It is. That process sucks, but I'm really proud of it.
That's awesome. I know Josh has got tons of questions to ask. So Josh, before we go to the personal growth, hit Ken up with a couple of questions. I see scribbling there, going crazy. I see your head's about to explode. He's drooling right now. So hit me up, bro.
All right, Ken, we're about to extract some gold out of you here. Okay, so one, you mentioned systems, right? And you have these hustlers rather than business owners. What holds people back from being able to systemize their business? And why do most people not do it?
It's themselves. And that is exactly what's going on between their ears is the reason why they don't do it. And the moment that they realize that they are the problem, what people don't realize is that, and this is the most frustrating part about scaling a business, right? I'll share the absolute worst part about it is the very thing that you have to become when you're moving from the 9 to 5 or when you're starting the business. You have to have that hustler mentality. You have to have that,
yes.
Oh my God, I'm going to run through a wall. I'm going to do whatever it takes, right? You got to have that. And then you get to a place where you go, 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 go. And all of a sudden that guy has to die.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? When I tell somebody that, they're like, you're what? I'm like, that guy is the demise of your business. That guy has to go away because that guy or girl always thinks to themselves, well, I can just do it. I'll have them, you know, nobody's going to do it as good as I can or whatever.
Yes.
It is a game. Right. The game is very simple. You have to fire yourself as often as you can. You have to decide what is a bigger deal to you. Is it more important to you to have the money than it is to have the option? Say it again. Is it more important to you to have the money than it is to have the option? And the option is The option is I get to decide every day what my day looks like because I have so much money, because I have so much time, because I've actually done what it takes to get to the place where I get the option to decide what I get to do. And if you want the option, there are a lot of times you got to turn your head away from that short dollar and go after that long return.
Kent, you are talking exactly about the person you're looking at in the camera right now. I was that guy. I had one restaurant for 20 something years, did a good job. I had an immigrant dad who said, you've got to be there. And that worked 30 years ago. You could have a really great lifestyle doing that. How does it explain that I have 1,600 multifamily units in 6 or 7 years? There is no explanation other than that guy had to die. That guy had to grow. That guy had to understand core values. That guy had to understand systemizing. And that guy had to grow out of his comfort zone. And that guy had to have enough pain to move away from to be able to do that. And actually, while going through the process, having great partners, having great masterminds, having great mentors, all that works through. But everyone who's listening, rewind what Ken just said and see if it's you. Because if it is you, you're going to get sick and you're going to say, Ken's a real jerk. He doesn't know me. Then you're going to listen to it again and go, wow, Ken is saying 100% truth, because we can all be like Kent right now if we want to, if we want to decide to. The problem is that most of us, myself included, we're scared. We're taught that we have to be there all the time, that no one does it as good as us. I'd rather have six people do 80% of what I can do at 100% because I'm leveraging OPT, other people's time. How do you think Bezos and the rest of them do it? It's not just OPM. I think OPT is more powerful than OPM, if you ask me, because you can really start scaling. But trust in yourself. Trust that you can do it and have a vision of what you want your life to look like. So I appreciate you sharing that with us.
All right, Kent. So you diagnose the average person or the majority of people, they're overly educated, but they're definitely lacking on action. What would you say holds most people back? And what advice would you recommend to the people that, hey, that's me, that identify as that?
One simple thing, I can tell you exactly how to fix that problem immediately, right? Is you need to decide what you want your life to look like, number one, right? Literally. So think about it, guys. We start with the end in mind with the most basic decisions in our life on a daily basis, right? But we rarely do it with what we actually want our big stuff, like what I want my whole life to look like, what I want my next 10 years to look like. We never start with the end in mind. But if I tell you, hey, guys, I want you to come to my office next week, you know, when you're out here in San Diego, what are you going to ask me for? The address, right? Okay, why? Because you're going to go put it in the GPS so you can navigate directly to where it is. Why? Because you're starting with the end in mind. If your wife asks you, hey, stop by the grocery store and grab a few things, you sure as hell do not say, okay. You say, can you give me a little more information? Can you tell me exactly what you want? Oh, you want milk? Well, there's only about 47 different varieties of milk now. Do we want the oat milk, the coconut milk, the almond milk? I mean, what do we, tell me exactly what we want. In fact, can you just go take a picture of it for me? And because what you don't do is you don't go buy a bunch of random crap in the grocery store and show up and dump it all on the counter and say, is any of this stuff what you're looking for?
You don't do that. I like to do that with my wife every now and then. She gets really annoyed at me. Goes, really?
Yeah, right. And the reason why is because we clearly know that we have to have a plan. We have to start. We want our, you know, that we don't want to waste time. But yet when it talks about the biggest decisions of our life, right, we don't actually sit down and talk about what we want. So back to your question, if I want to make, let's just say it's in the hustler mode, I want to make $100,000, right? I want to make $100,000 so I can walk away from my job. All right, well, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to sit down? What are the actions you have to take? What are the things that you're going to have to, I'm going to have to go and learn how to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to have to potentially go and hire a mentor. I'm going to have to potentially get into coach. I'm going to have to do these things that smart people do in order to accomplish a big goal, right? All these things that are painful. A lot of people get to that point and they stop. And this is why they stop. And this is how you fix it. You do not have a respect for time. You think the world owes you something. You think tomorrow is promised. Next week, next month is promised. It's not, baby. I sat there and held my mentor's hand as he died, right? When I was, he had worked his entire life inside of the travel industry. My uncle, he was one of the most respected guys, about a C-level guy inside of the cruise industry, was a massive figure in my life. And I watched him work his entire life, travel the world, do whatever he could to go build a business, all at the expense of his family. He retired when he was 60, had millions and millions of dollars in the bank, and suddenly got diagnosed with cancer almost within inside the first year of him retiring. And I can remember very, very vividly holding his hand when he passed away at 62 years old. And being in a hospital bed or in a hospital room in Daytona Beach, Florida, and him with a whiteboard on his lap, because he was all hooked up to a respirator, sitting there telling me, I just wish I had more time. So I'm sitting here mentally, I'm like, man, this guy's got, I mean, every way I would measure success, this guy has it, right? Traveled the world, but yeah, did it at the expense of his family. Kids don't really know him. Tens of millions of dollars. And that money cannot buy him the one thing he wants at the end. It didn't matter. Nobody gave a shit how much money he had in the bank account. It couldn't buy him one more minute. So to sit around and act like you got time, whether you're 22 or 52 or 72, is ridiculous. It is the most irresponsible thing you can do. You need to be in a hurry right now to wring everything out of every day that you possibly can. I don't wear a watch, right? I wear a band on my wrist that says the time is now, and I'll be damned if not every time I look down my wrist, that bitch is right. And you know, it's tattooed on my arm. It is on this sign behind me. I am extremely, extremely dialed in on time. Most people, the reason they don't take action on things they know they need to do is because they have no respect for time. And when you, and the easiest way to respect time is just go calculate how many days you have left. You know, the average American male lives to 78. Female is 82. Go subtract your age from it right now. Go multiply it times 365. Statistically speaking, that's how many days you have left. Go put it on a whiteboard right here in your office. And every day you come in, just tick it down one. You start visually watching your life tick away. You'll start respecting time a hell of a lot more and start taking big action.
Wow, Ken, I love that. And I think we really need to hammer that home, right? Not only do we respect time, but time is more valuable for money than money. And once you realize that, I think that really puts everything in perspective, right? You can look at a guy like the Apple founder, right? And he had billions of dollars, yet, but at the same time, he ran out of time, right? And so you have limited time on this earth and you can get unlimited money. People need to realize because that.
Look, you guys have talked about it. We get lulled to sleep, whether it's the narrative that has been fed to us when you're running your restaurant business, right? Our parents, the people around us, our friends, our family, everybody around us, they mean well. Mm-hmm. They're trying to protect us, right? But your brain is a product of that. Your thoughts, your capacity to push yourself is all a product of that. You need to understand that you get to control what this does. Mm-hmm. But right now, the narrative is a product that the message that you're the story you're telling, it was a product of everything that's been fed to you this point. Hey, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. Success is hard. You know, and all that can be changed. You can rewrite the story every day, but you got to get in the game to start rewriting the story. And you got to get in a hurry to sit around. What you got to realize is the moment your brain kicks in and says something to you to the effect of, I will just get to it tomorrow. I'll just get to it next week. I'll just do it later. You know, and I really can't afford to do that. What you need to understand is that successful people don't think like that. Successful people, when we hear about, oh, we're going to go invest, whether it's in a mastermind or coaching or this thing or this project or whatever, we never think in terms of, I can't afford not to. We always think in terms of, I can't afford to. We always think in terms of, I can't afford not to. What's the ROI? How am I going to use this as a leverage point to push me further to my goal, right? It's never about, oh God, I can't afford to do that. It's, oh my God, I can't afford not to do it. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get in? I'm trying to get to the good stuff in life as fast as humanly possible. And when people can understand that they get to control their brain and they can flip those switches internally, they're just levers inside there. You have to surround yourself with the right people. You got to make sure you're having the right self-talk. You got to be listening to the right information, the podcast, turn the news off, turn the garbage off, get the friends and family away from you that are kind of dragging you down, the negative people that don't know anything about success, and get in a hurry to get there. Because if you do that, man, this is, as we've all proven, this is an amazing business and can provide an enormous amount of opportunity and privilege.
I want everyone to write this on your vision board below the number of days you have left on this earth. If it makes you money, it costs you nothing. That's the bottom line. That's how entrepreneurs think. We don't think of things as an expense. We think of things as an investment. We're investing in ourselves. Once you make that shift, man, holy crap, sky's the limit. I'll drop 20 grand in a mastermind in a heartbeat now. Whereas 6 or 7 years ago, I'd have like heart palpitations. Like,
I was asked to be a part of the 100 million mastermind with a bunch of guys, and it's 100 grand, baby.
But just you meet one or two people in that and you get one or two like connections, you got your money tenfold. That's basically what it comes down to.
That's the whole thing. If I'm going to invest 100 grand, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get a hell of a lot more than 100
grand.
You're
going to show up. That's what's really going to happen, right? I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors. Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, Kent, I have some personal development questions here for you. Sure. What's the best deal you've ever done and why?
Best deal I've ever done was marrying my wife.
All right. Why?
Because I was at a really, really low point. I had lost everything. And the simple fact that I could convince her at my lowest point that I was worth the risk to take the ride up with me. That was a hell of a sales job, and it's been a hell of a ride.
Love it. What about your favorite book?
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I could not recommend it enough. In fact, it's the only book I ever recommend to people outside of my own. It is a book that you can probably read it in an hour. And it's just very eye-opening for me. It's not a business book, but it will have a profound impact on your business and your life.
Love it. Best habit for success?
Living in the present, what I would say.
Success. Get into a regimented daily routine. My time is extremely valuable. There is not a lot of wiggle room in my day. My team and everybody around me knows exactly when I have it very well planned out. Here is my family time. Here is my me time. Here's the gym time. Here's the office time. I mean, get really, really stringent and disciplined and schedule your time, all of it, and you'll be much happier.
Josh, I'm talking to Jake right now. Love it. That's my part. My partner says exactly the same thing. The discipline that you're exhibiting right there actually frees up a lot of time. People think, wow, I'm structuring my day. I'm not going to have control. No, you're actually structuring it. It allows you the time to be able not to think and not to worry. You're just there where you are.
Yeah, it takes all the pressure off. Like, I know I don't need to think about this until that allotted time is coming.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. All right. So there've been a lot of gold nuggets in here, and I want to hammer one. I know Gino's got a bunch to add to it. So Kent, one thing that really, really stood out to me is you can focus on obstacles or opportunities. And really they're two sides of the same coin, and what you focus on expands, right? We know there's opportunity. We know there's risk, but if you look at all the obstacles, like you said, it's going to hold you back from implementing anything, but yet when you realize the opportunity and are aware of the obstacles, you're going to implement. So I love, love, love that. Gino, what else do you have to add to that?
So Josh, you have a 17-year-old Kent Clothier working in a grocery chain. He's crushing it. starts really building a business to an $800 million business. It grows to $1.2 billion. But the problem is he's not humble enough. He decides to walk in and wants a little equity, has a big blowout with his partners. He decides, let me start my business on my own. He tries to do that, and all of a sudden he falls flat. And he thought the person who turned everything to gold is all of a sudden doubting himself and not knowing which way to go, right? One night he's watching TV. He sees Russ Whitney on there, one of the big gurus back in the 80s and 90s. I love this message also. He resonates. He runs down. He starts doing a wholesaling deal. From one wholesaling deal, he creates an empire. They're doing 6,500 deals after that. They're managing that many units. He's created an amazing life and an amazing experience. He's done it with his family. He's written two books, and he's, you know, creating massive impact for others. So for me, it's just an entrepreneurial story of somebody who, since he's 17 years old, he's been making payroll. I can resonate with that. That's what he's been doing. He's been making payroll more than the average person in Congress has been in Congress or has been alive. That's an amazing feat. I want everyone to think of multifamily and real estate in particular as a business. There's been so many golden nuggets for me. The one that I love is ignorance on fire is so much better than knowledge on ice. You only need 70% to do before you take action. If you need 100%, you will never take action. So if you knew 70% of your situation, go out there and go make it happen. And ultimately, the time is now. Let's leave everyone with that. The time is now. Get off this podcast. Start thinking about your clarity. Start creating your vision board. Start counting down those days, because you know what? You may not even have that many days. So get clear on what you want from your life.
Kent, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
I'm easy to find on the social media channels, you know, Facebook, Instagram. It's just at Kent Clothier, or you can go to kentclothier.com. And if you want to grab my book, just go to grabkentsbook.com. That's the easiest way to do it.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your story.
Oh, thanks, no, Kent. Man, it's my pleasure. Thanks, guys.